And open your Bibles, please, to the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 836, we'll read responsively the first eight verses. The second and third verses are the text verses. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And may we please stand for the reading of God's Word. Read the verses responsively. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. And may we pray. Father, you've given us a very wonderful opportunity this evening. Thank you that we can be in this place called First Baptist Church. What a history. But history is yet being made. We're thankful for this great church. We're especially thankful for our preacher. We're thankful for this hour that you've given us together. Knit our hearts and minds together in a unity that will bring about thy choicest of blessings and thy will for this service, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
More beautiful words than these. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I call your attention especially, a little line, they are new, speaking of God's mercies and God's compassions, they are new every morning. May I explain exactly what that means before I pray and before I bring tonight a message far more brief than my usual Sunday night message? May I explain what that means? The Israelites were facing inevitable judgment and punishment. You can divide the prophets of Israel, both of major prophets and minor prophets, into three different groups. The pre-exile prophets, or pre-captivity prophets, the post-captivity prophets, and the captivity prophets. For example, Isaiah was a pre-captivity prophet. He preached the prophecy of coming judgment and coming captivity or exile, that 70-year period of exile in Babylon. Obadiah was a pre-exile prophet, and others, most of them were for that matter. Post-exile prophets, Haggai, Zechariah. Then there were two prophets that were strictly exile prophets, Ezekiel and Daniel. Their ministry was during the exile to the people while they were in exile. Then there was one named Jeremiah who spanned two periods. Jeremiah was both a pre-exile prophet and an exile prophet. Though he did not preach to them while they were in exile, he did live during the time of judgment. That's what the little book of Lamentations is all about. The little book of Lamentations is Jeremiah lamenting the fact that God's judgment is going to come. He's not warning the people anymore. He's not saying, get right with God or God's going to judge. It's all settled now. God's going to judge. It's all over. And God's judgment is going to come. I could not begin to tell you the horror of that judgment. The temple was destroyed. The houses in Jerusalem were destroyed. The people, all but the very, very poor people, were taken captive 500 miles away to the land of Babylon. In the land, it got so bad that they would do what we've heard about in recent days over in the Middle East. They would actually eat their own children. Can you imagine that? And Jeremiah stands on the street corner preaching and says, God's judgment's going to come. No longer is there any hope. It's going to come. And he reminds them that they're going to have to spend those years in captivity. But tucked away in that little judgment-pronouncing book, he says to God's people individually who still love him, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, that little line, they, God's mercies, they, God's compassions, are new every morning. Here's what it means. He meant that every morning, God had something to give them he had never given them before. That's what he meant. Every morning, there's something special that never had before. And I want to speak to you tonight, ever so briefly, on the subject pictures, packages, and boxes. Pictures, packages, and boxes concerning this little passage. Father, bless, I pray, our message tonight. And I pray that people shall listen carefully now because of time. We'll have to hasten and skip over some of the sermon. So I pray that you'd bless us as we speak and as we hear. May it be to our profit and to our benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. As soon as we get saved, we embark on a wonderful journey that God has planned for us. Now, God has something new all the time. Every morning, his compassions are new. I don't mean he has the same compassions that are brand new. No, he has different compassions every morning. There's a new tint, a new hue to God's grace and God's love every day. No 2 days are ever exactly alike. No 2 mercies are ever exactly alike. And God is telling us here that as we journey through life, he's saying every day is a new exploration. Every day is a new adventure. Every day is something special and unique to itself. So there are no 2 of God's blessings and mercies exactly alike. Then if that be true, why are we so unhappy? If the truth were told tonight, probably 90% of the people in this room have periods of unhappiness, melancholy, depression, and so forth. Why are we unhappy? May I share with you tonight something so simple and yet so profound concerning this subject. Why are we unhappy? If God has provided for us a new, fresh blessing and mercy every day, if God has provided for us a new, never used before, exciting journey every day of a compassion that will never fail, and if this journey that our guide has provided for us is such a wonderful one, why, how could it be that we could be unhappy? I share with you why. Answer. Here's one reason. We decide what we're looking for. We decide what tomorrow is going to be like. And we measure tomorrow by what we get in comparison to what we think tomorrow is going to be like. We plan tomorrow. Don't plan tomorrow. Get up and look up to God and say, God, what do you have for me today? You have something new and fresh and exciting for me. But you see, the reason we're not happy, one reason is that we have already decided what to look for. But God does not. Listen, we have no way to decide what to look for tomorrow except as we measure what we enjoyed yesterday. But God has a blessing for tomorrow that yesterday has never seen. God has something new. Thy mercies are new and different and unique every morning. Thy compassions, they fail not. They're always different. And every day is a different day as our guide leads us on this wonderful journey. Then why are we so unhappy? Answer, we decide what God's goodness is and outline God's goodness. Then we compare God's plans with our checklist. And if God's plans for us do not measure up with our preconceived idea of God's goodness, then we're disappointed. I preached a sermon here a few years ago and used it around the country some, entitled Yesterday's Fantasies Versus Today's Realities.
We decide what tomorrow is going to be like. And when tomorrow comes, we take the reality of tomorrow and put that reality of tomorrow beside the fantasy we had yesterday for tomorrow. And that reality does not measure up to our fantasy. So we're disappointed and we're not happy. But God is saying here, let me give you something fresh and new every morning. Let me give you a blessing tomorrow morning that you've never received before. Let me give you a mercy that you have, with which you have nothing to compare. You've never gotten a mercy like this one, says God. You've never gotten a compassion like this one. You've never lived a day like this one. Don't decide what you want tomorrow to be like. You let me plan tomorrow, for I have something fresh, exciting, and new you've never seen before. And by the way, nobody has ever seen it before. God has a tomorrow planned for you like nobody has ever had in the history of mankind. Now, don't you go planning your tomorrow and telling God what it ought to be like and be unhappy tomorrow when your tomorrow does not measure up to what yesterday you thought today ought to be. Why are we unhappy? Now listen, these people were going to bondage. These weren't people going for a vacation trip. These weren't people going to a pastor's school or a convention somewhere. These were people headed for 70 years of bondage. These were people whose houses had been destroyed. These are people whose temple had been leveled to the ground. These are people who had seen families divided. These are people leaving their beloved land for a 500-mile journey by foot to be gone for 70 years. These are people, many of whom will die before they ever see the land again. And God comes to these people and says, I know you're going to have it rough. I know it's going to be tough. But he said, I want to tell you something. Even though you are away from your land and your house is level and your temple is level, and you'll be in a foreign country in captivity, God will still be your God. And God will still provide for you every day. Oh, if I could just reach out tonight and grab you and say, don't plan tomorrow, let God plan tomorrow. He has some wonderful blessings for you that nobody's ever received before. He has mercies for you, unique to you and unique to tomorrow. He has compassions for you that have never been known by anybody before. And because of that, God says, let me plan your future. Let me take care of tomorrow. Don't you decide what tomorrow should be like. When tomorrow comes, you compare the events of tomorrow with the plans you had for it. He said, forget your plan, do my plan. Forget your will, do my will. Folks, you don't have to be depressed, and you don't have to be melancholy. You don't have to be disillusioned with life. You don't have to be a sourpuss. You don't have to complain. You don't have to gripe. Why? Because the God who is always new has prepared every tomorrow for you with no tomorrows alike and no blessings exactly alike and no mercies exactly alike and no compassions exactly alike. What a wonderful trip God has planned for you, but you're not enjoying it because you got it all figured out how tomorrow ought to be. And so Jeremiah comes and says, I know you're going to be gone. I know the heartache you're going to face. I know the lonely hours. I know it. But I want to tell you something. Your house may be gone, but your God still lives. And your temple may be leveled, but your God of that temple is still alive. And the God that has cared for you yesterday in Jerusalem will care for you tomorrow in Babylon. And even though you're in Babylon, your God has new and fresh and exciting things for you every single day. Now listen to me. So you got it rough. So did they. So you have burdens. So did they. So you have heartaches. So did they. But let me serve notice to you, ladies and gentlemen, that in your burdens, even God's love is new and has a new hue to it every single morning. And God's strength is different. Listen, the way God gives you strength to bear your burden and face your sorrow and face your heartache is different. Go to bed tonight and say, I wonder how God's going to strengthen me to face my burden tomorrow. Why are we so unhappy then? If we have the God of gods who has prepared tomorrows for us, illustration. The City Baptist young people prepared for me for the month of March a calendar. The calendar is probably as big as this pulpit. It's about that thick, about that wide, and about that tall. It's in my office right now. They have the month of March on that calendar, and each day has a little number on it, like March the 1st, about that big square. And you open it, and inside is a delightful treat for that day. So every day of March, I have opened that little door, and there's a treat for that day. And maybe you've noticed I have been enjoying it very, very much. Folks, don't laugh at me because I'm getting fat. When I was skinny, at my age, you're not pretty when you're skinny. Anyhow, you may as well live it up. But every day, and you know, I walk in there, and I say, I wonder what's inside there. I wonder what it is. And I opened up, this morning, a Milky Way. But I didn't eat it all this morning. I ate some this afternoon, and the rest before the service tonight. And tomorrow, I'll open it again. I wonder what it'll be. Will it be a handful of Hershey's Kisses? Or will it be a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup? Or will it be a Snicker? Or would it be little miniature Hershey bars? I don't know. But I can't wait till tomorrow. That's exactly what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is saying, God has something new and different for us every day. Even though we're in bondage. Even though our hearts are heavy. Look, you don't have to have a light heart to be happy. God gives you a happy heart when it's heavy. And God gives you laughter at midnight. And God gives you joy in the tears. And God gives you thrills and excitement while you bear your burden. And God says to these people, okay, you're going to be gone in bondage. Some of you will die there. You'll leave your homes, leave your families, leave your friends, leave your city, leave your beloved temple site. But God will not die. God will still be alive. And God has something every day new and fresh for you. And no 2 days are exactly alike. Well, then why are we unhappy? Illustration. Our answer. We're unhappy because God's goodness is judged by how it fits our concept. God's goodness is judged by how it fits our concept. We know what God's goodness is. No, you don't know what God's goodness is. You limit yourself to knowing God's goodness because you have already prescribed the ingredients of God's goodness. But God has goodness we don't know about. But we don't find out what it is because we've already built the boundaries around God's goodness, and we know what God's goodness is, and so we fail to receive the blessing that God has for us day by day, and the new, unique, exciting mercy that God has for us, and the new, unique, exciting compassion that God has for us. Why? Because we've already got our little concept of God. Then why are we so unhappy? Answer. We decide our needs and what will make us happy. Now, hear me carefully. We decide our needs and what will make us happy. And our joy is determined by whether God meets what we think we need or what we think will make us happy. If you would bury every concept you have of your needs and bury every concept you have of what will supply those needs and just get up and say, God, I don't know what I need. Shoot it to me. God will give you a delightful surprise every day. Illustration. Pastor school. 24 pastor schools. No two have ever been alike. Always different. God chooses to give us something brand new and fresh every pastor school. I've gotten letters with the dozens since pastor school. They all say about the same thing. This is the greatest pastor school ever. And that's right. Now, I'm not saying that at the time, but this is the greatest ever. You know why? Because this is the new fresh one that God gave us, like unto which there's never been another. Folks, listen to me. Quit trying to play God. Quit trying to decide what will make you happy. Oh, God, if I just had this, I'd be... You don't know what your needs are, much less what the answer to your needs are. Just let... Go like a little boy goes to the zoo. And just look at life that way. Look at there. The animals over here. And just live that way. Look, I'm 60 years old. I do not give God my orders as to what I think I need. I say, dear God, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve you. I don't know what you have for me, but whoopee, I'm glad you know what you have for me. And I'll guarantee you this. No 2 days of mine are ever exactly alike. Why? His mercies are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning. His strength is new every morning. He's not talking here about fresh every morning. It's not talking about fresh bread every morning. It's talking about a different flavor of fresh bread every morning. That's what it's talking about. Has a different flavor to it. And no 2 days ever have the same flavor, because our God, whose supply of ideas is inexhaustible, has planned something for each of us. Get up tomorrow morning. Don't say, oh, brother, it's Blue Monday. I know what I need. I need a day off. No, you don't know what you need. You don't know what you need, but He knows what you need. You don't know what's best for you, but He knows what's best for you. Get up tomorrow morning and say, I wonder what new mercy He's going to have this morning. Follow me very carefully for a minute. I don't know how many Christians there are in the world, but there has never been two exactly alike. And never will be. Did you know that God, now follow me carefully, God has made you with the ability to praise Him like nobody else in the world can praise Him? Which means that if you don't praise Him, He'll not, there's nobody can praise Him like you can praise Him, and so nobody can substitute for your praise. In this great symphony of Christianity, you play a little instrument that nobody else plays. And God's ear is so tuned to the great symphony that if one little instrument is not played, God will know it's not being played. You can offer to God a praise that nobody else offers to God, and if you don't offer it, He won't get that praise. You can offer to God a love. I got a kick out of pastor school this year. The choir was here in the night services, and some of you folks were, but the choir had to be here Tuesday and Thursday night. I got a kick out of watching the different people, the way they got happy. Some guys would get up and say, well, glory! One guy up there on Thursday night, after I'd preached Thursday night, I gave an invitation, and I want you to know, you could hardly hear in this building for folks crying because of conviction. And hundreds and thousands of people kneeling all across this great building, begging God for His mercy and His power. Then all of a sudden at the end, I simply said, where is that man that God's called to preach? I didn't even intend to say it. Didn't even plan to do it. I said, where is that man God's called to preach? And 134 men exploded down this aisle. And grown men surrendered their life to preach. But one guy right up there in the balcony had a guy down here named Jim that he felt like God was calling to preach. And he was up there in the balcony. Go ahead, Jim. God's calling you, Jim. Go ahead, Jim. Come on, Jim. Hey, Jim. Get out of that seat. Come on, Jim. Get down there, Jim. He was cheering. Where Jim was, I don't know. But if I'd been Jim, I'd have walked the aisle this way or that way. But I wouldn't have stayed in here, I guarantee you, for sure. Now, some snob will say, I just don't believe you ought to do that. Well, maybe you shouldn't. But God did not give to that fellow the same way of praising Him that God gave you. God wants somebody to get up and say, well, glory! And God wants somebody else to say, come on, Jim! Come on, Jim! By the way, Jim walked the aisle that night. Well, he didn't walk out. He ran the aisle. And when this guy up here saw him, he came taking off down those steps. He caught up with Jim by the time Jim got to the front. He ran faster than Jim did. I saw some people going, and some are going, oh God, oh God, oh God. And some are saying, amen, praise the Lord. Now, look, Nobody's supposed to do it the same way. God has given you a love for Christ that is unique to you. God needs your love in your way. And God needs your praise in your way. But that isn't all. Just as God has given you a praise unique to you that nobody else can compare, can give, and nobody else can substitute for it. And just as God has given you that unique love that nobody else can give the Savior, just like you can give it to Him, even so, God, I love this, God has a love for you that is not exactly like He has for anybody else in the whole wide world. And He has some plans for you, like He has for nobody else. Illustration. As a girl grows, she watches her dad. And as she watches her dad, as she grows up in a home, she sets her idea what a man should be and what a man should do. So she has her list of prerequisites for a husband. And that list of prerequisites, basically, is a list of things and qualities of her dad. So she gets married. And she says, this is what I want in a husband. But nobody, there's only one man like her dad in the whole world. And nobody can be like her dad. So what happens? She's unhappily married. Why? Because she gave God her order about tomorrow. But God said, I've got a man for you. I bet you wish you could find him in some cases. But I've got a man for you. By the way, if you folks who want a man real badly, there are several ladies here that would be glad to give you one. But God, look, no, don't tell God what you want. Tell God He knows what you want and what you need. Let God plan the journey. That's all I'm saying. Let God plan the journey. These people were headed for bondage, but God said, my mercies will be new every morning. You'll wake up in a new place as you travel toward the land of Babylon. You'll wake up in a new place every morning, but God's mercies will be just as new as that place. And God's compassion is just as new. And God has planned every day of your journey and every day of your life. By the way, the same thing happened to the boy and his mother. A boy grows up, he sees his mother. And he decides what qualities a wife should have and a mother should have. And so he makes a list of prerequisites for what he thinks he wants his wife to be. But no wife can be like your mother, because there's only one like your mother. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. She was the girl and the only girl that daddy ever had. Dear old-fashioned girl with eyes so blue, never did love nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. Who wrote that song? Didn't know what he's talking about. Because there's just one girl like that that's ever lived, and that's the girl that married dear old dad. God has one for you. Yeah. And nobody's ever been like her before. She may be light-haired or dark-complected. That's right. But I'm saying, look, here's the tragedy. God says, I've got it all planned for you. Oh, but you say, oh, I've got burdens. He planned these burdens? He planned those burdens so He can shine a new light on His strength that He gave you. You would never know the newness of God's strength if you didn't need God's strength. You would never know the newness of God's grace if you didn't need God's grace. These people wouldn't have needed any mercies if they hadn't had any troubles. They wouldn't have needed any compassions if they never sinned. God is saying, I've got the whole journey planned. You just sit back and enjoy the ride. Don't preconceive what it's going to be like. Everything is new and fresh every morning. Illustration. An event. Maybe it's a senior trip. Maybe it's some kind of an activity. Maybe it's a ball game. But you've got it planned exactly like it ought to be. So what happens? God gives you what He has for you. But you're disappointed because you played God and you already have decided what that event was supposed to be like. Illustration. A certain day in your life, And you say, this is what tomorrow is going to be like. And you got it all planned. So what happens? If God doesn't give you what you planned that God would give you, you're disappointed. I will tell you something. God's a better planner than you are. And God's a better preparer than you are. And God is... See, what you... The only thing with which we have to plan tomorrow is to find some good yesterday. Now listen carefully to this. You've never lived tomorrow. You've never looked down and seen tomorrow. God has. God is tomorrow. But you never have. If you planned the greatest day you could think of, you'd have to choose the greatest day you've already lived. But God has a tomorrow that's unique and greater than any day you've already lived. You can't plan a better tomorrow than God because all you have to work with is the yesterdays and renew or recreate some yes. But God says, I've got something for you tomorrow. Open your eyes wide and just enjoy it as God the guide takes you a long life journey. That's what he's talking about. Illustration. Relationships. We want to be treated like we treat. We want somebody to treat us because we want somebody to treat us like we treat them because we treat them like we want to be treated. But that's not the thing to do. Let the person who loves you wrap the love in his or her own package. We don't like the package in which the love is wrapped. Good night, take the love. Fully on the package. But we want them to wrap it just like we wrap our love. And because of that, the only love we can understand is somebody who expresses it exactly like we express it. That's why people go shopping for churches. I'm looking for this and this in a church. Fully on that stuff. Let God lead you to the church He has planned for you. We look for peace. We decide what peace is like. And we say, okay, God, let me have peace. But God, let me tell you what peace is like. And the Prince of Peace says, you telling me what peace is like? I'm the Prince of Peace. Lord, I want this and this and this and this. That's what it takes to make me happy. The Lord says, I'm the source of all joy. Let me plan your tomorrow. And let me know, let me decide what will make you happy. Did your wife ever say this? I wish you'd treat me like he treats her. I think I hit a nerve, didn't I? I wish you'd treat me like he treats her. Did your husband ever say this? I wish you were as affectionate as she is to him. Honey, you don't know how affectionate she is behind a closed door. A lot of this outward goo runs out before it gets home. She may just want you to think what you're thinking. Why don't you quit ordering? The best food I've ever eaten in my life. The best food ever in my life is on a cruise. About 20 years ago or so, we took a cruise. In fact, we've taken two or three of them way back yonder. And boy, I want you to know, we don't order anything. You just sit down and they bring it. And they bring it, and they bring it, and they bring it, and they bring it, and they bring it. And we eat it, and we eat it, and we eat it, and we eat it. And that's why we wear these things. We wear these things because you can't keep a pants on a funnel. And, by the way, those are knockouts, aren't they? You got to admit, that's high class. Ain't just every church don't have a preacher that wears stuff like this. Right? You don't like my suspenders. You wouldn't like what would happen if I didn't have them on either. Pantalones, 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 pantalones. Look, now look. You go to a restaurant and they bring you one of these big menus. It looks like the morning paper. I hate him with a passion. And what do? You look at everything on there. Oh, what do I want? Oh, that sounds good, but that sounds good. Oh, what do I want? You know what you ought to do? You ought to just walk in and say, surprise me. You may get a bottle of wine that way. But here's what you do. Here comes God. God says, may I take your order, please? He says, yes, God. I want peace. And God, let me tell you what peace is. This is where you get peace. God, I may help you out a little bit here. You take notes on this. This is what I want. That's what I want, God. And God's okay. That's what you want. So I'll give you. But you ought to see what I have for you.
Yeah.
So you never get it. And by the way, when you get what you want, you're not happy. And so you go without His new, unique, fresh mercies, blessings, every day. Why? Because you have already made your order. I want this, I want this, and this is what I want. Why don't you go through the Christian life just saying to your guide, you've been through this before and you can see tomorrow. Surprise me. Surprise me. And you'll be surprised how He can surprise you and what delight it is. You see, the form replaces the love. The wrapping replaces the box. Now look. Why don't you say every day, God, I can't wait to see what you planned for me today. God, you decide my needs and you fill them. Now hear me carefully. Some people come to church saying, this is the kind of sermon I need today. You don't know what kind of sermon you need today. God knows what kind of sermon you need today. You just come to church and say, God's man, and by the way, this is true, God's man has sought God's help concerning what I need today, and God's going to give me what I need through God's man today. And that way, you'll enjoy the services, and God will bless you. But you want to place your order. Why don't you say, God, you give me the love that you have for me today. God, give me the feeling. Now, let me give you an example. Now, follow me. This is my life. How would you like to have preached on Thursday night in pastor school? How many of you were here on Tuesday night? Several of you. Oh, a lot of you were. I never heard Dr. Malone any better in my life. And Dr. Sattler got us down to Lodabar and got Mephibosheth out of Lodabar. We were all just about to have a spell. And then Dr. Tom Williams preached one of the best sermons on prayer I ever heard in my life. And the folks were wild. I mean, hollering and screaming and blessing God and praising God and glory to God. And then, Thursday night, I never heard Dr. Hudson preach any better than he preached. So, here's Jackie Boy's time. Now, what am I supposed to do? Try to be a Hudson? No. No. What am I supposed to do? Try to out-preach Sattler on Mephibosheth? No. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be me. I'm supposed to give them what God's given me for them. You see. And I'm supposed to get up and let God give the blessing He wants to give. A long time ago I learned that. Preachers who preach across the country don't compete with each other. And we pull for each other. And boy, if the service is better when one guy preaches than it is when I preach, we just live it up together. Why? Because God has something for Jack Hiles to give to that crowd that nobody else can give exactly like Jack Hiles can give it. And God has something for Harold Sattler to give to that crowd that nobody can give exactly like Harold Sattler can give it. First time I ever preached in the Store of the Lord Conference, you heard me say this. Dr. R.G. Lee preached Payday Someday and then introduced me. I was 29 years of age. And I said to myself, dear God, I don't know what to do right now, but this sermon I'm going to preach is sort of sickly looking, anemic. But I said, if you didn't want me to follow R.G. Lee tonight, you wouldn't have put me on this program tonight. R.G. Lee is an old man. I'm 29 years of age. But you wanted a 29-year-old man to preach following R.G. Lee tonight, and that's why I'm on this program. And I got up and gave him what I could. And I will tell you something. We had revival breakout that night after I had preached, the like of which I've seen in few short conferences in my life. And from that one little sermon, Dr. John Rice started inviting me to come to preach in short conferences across this nation. And my ministry was catapulted to a worldwide ministry that because of that one sermon, because I said, God, if God didn't want Jack Howells on the program tonight, he wouldn't have put Jack Howells on the program. And if R.G. Lee could have given them everything they needed tonight, there wouldn't be anybody else on the program after he got through, and God would have closed the service by now. We say, God, give me a certain kind of love. We say to our friends, love me in this package. We're more concerned about the package than the love. Now, I'll close with this. You just love me, and I don't care how you wrap it. You can wrap it, if you want to, in a nice little note under my door. Or you can wrap it in a few words and say, I love you, preacher. Or you can wrap it in a nice little laughter and a few jokes. You heard years ago, a fellow that was bald-headed got struck by lightning on the top of his head in a rainstorm. And when that lightning hit the top of his head, immediately hair started growing. And he grew a head of hair. That's in the paper. That really happened. Now, every time we walked down the alley with my guards, tonight it was raining some, and one of them said, don't cover your head. You may get struck by lightning and grow hair. Now, you know what he was saying to me? He was saying to me, I love you, preacher. I love to be around you. I love to joke with you. Now, you just decide how you want to wrap the love you give me, and I'll just take it as it comes. If you want to do it with a pat on the back, I got a pretty broad back, all the way up and down. If you want to do it with some hard work and show me you love me by working hard, I'll take it that way. If you want to give it to me by a Reese's peanut butter cup, I'll take it that way. If you want to decorate my door and say behind this door is the greatest preacher in the world, I'll take it that way. If you want to give me a calendar for the month with a little cubby hole for every day of the month and have a surprise, I'll take it that way. If you want to holler across the building at me or the alley and say, hey, preacher, love you, I'll take it that way. If you want to sing, as young people do, we love you, preacher. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. You're not with us. We're blue. Oh, preacher, we love you. Just do it that way. Just do it. I'm not going to tell you how to wrap it. Just love me. That's all I ask you to do. You wrap it like you want to wrap it. And I'm not going to tell God what to do to me tomorrow. I've planned enough of my tomorrows to know that God can outplan me. And I want to be surprised. So tomorrow morning, I'll get up. This old foot of mine has got bursitis in it. Will say to the rest of me, you get up, but I'm staying. And I'll drag it. And I'll do like that and get the hurt out a little bit. And then I'll say to myself, who am I? And after a while, I'll find the answer. And I'll say, where am I? And then I'll get the answer. And then I'll say, dear God, another day to live. Another day that's different from any other day I've ever lived. With mercies that are like no mercies I've ever received before. I wonder, God, how you're going to show your love to me today. I wonder in what way I'm going to get a signal from you today. I wonder. What a life. And God is telling us, don't plan it. Follow Him who's the planner. That's why you're not happy. because you have already written your prescription out and sent it into God's drugstore and said, fill this one. And God said, I got some medicine to make you well. That won't. So what does God do? God sends you back what you asked for. You don't like it. When God could have sent you a new, fresh blessing, mercy and compassion. That's the difference in people that go through life all excited, all thrilled. Everything's new to them all the time. I mentioned pastor school a while ago. Folks, I wouldn't say ever, God, last year's pastor school was the best we ever had. Give us another one just like it. No. No. There's not a lady here in this room who'd want to buy 10 of the same dresses. Just alike. Better get a few a little larger in case. Anyway, you wouldn't want that. No. If you get a dress, you want one like you've not worn before. You want something totally different. Of course you do. And God says to these people, His own people headed for bondage. I love this because even though God judges you, He still loves you. And even though God is punishing you, He still has some special grace that is new for tomorrow. And some special mercy for tomorrow. And He says to them, I had to punish you. I didn't want to, but I had to. I love you. And even though I'm going to let them destroy the temple that's so sacred and holy to you, and though your houses will soon be leveled and you'll have to leave, to be gone, maybe never to return, I'm still your God. And I sure love you. And every day on the trip, I'll be there. And I got something special planned for the trip. Our college girls, we had the 12 days of Christmas. I went out to college. We planned the 12 days of Christmas while they were home for the holidays. One day was Mama's Day. The girls were going to cook the meal that day and do the dishes that day. One day was Dad's Day. They were going to wash the car for Dad that day. One day was baby brother or sister's day. I gave them all 50 cents and said, do something for your kid brother or kid sister that day. One day was beat the blahs day. That's the day before they're going to come back. I gave them all a little bit of money and told them to go shopping before they came back. And so every day while they were home, Brother Hiles had planned something different. One day was McDonald's Day. For me, every day is McDonald's Day. But one day was McDonald's Day. And every day, something different and something new. And that's what God says. Quit planning your life. Let me plan it. Quit ordering tomorrow. Let me surprise you. It's a wonderful journey. I think you'll like it. Even though you're sad, lonely, burdened, sick, bereaved, crushed, sorrowing, grief-stricken. He said, I got something planned for you every day. And no 2 days will ever be the same. Father, bless the message.